And now we bring you Viewpoint with Pete Stevenson, discussing subjects related to the home, family, and Christian education.
Today and all this week, we'll be looking at the topic, sowing and reaping. The laws of sowing and reaping are given several times in the Bible. There is the familiar Galatians 6, 7, and 8, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth through the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth through the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." We know that this is a principle with God, but do you know also that it is a principle with the family? The kinds of things that you sow in the lives of your children, you will reap when they mature. Look with me, please, at some biblical admonitions in the area. In the Ten Commandments, the Lord warns against worshiping idols, saying, "I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me." It's not that God punished innocent children for several generations after the original sin. It's that the sins of the fathers were reproduced in their children, thus bringing God's punishment upon them as well. At the opposite extreme, Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 3, admonishes the parents to keep God's word, "that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged." Again, the sowing of the fathers will be reproduced in the lives of the children. We can see examples of how this actually happened in the families of Bible characters. Gideon, in Judges 8, verse 27, fell into the sin of pride, making a gorgeous golden ephod as an outward expression of his newly acquired wealth. The Bible says, "He put it in his city, even in Ophrah, and all Israel went thither a-whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house." His own children were caught up in Gideon's sin. Look also at the example of Jeroboam in 2 Kings 15, verses 8 and 9. Zechariah was the son of Jeroboam, one of the wicked kings of Israel. We're told that he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. The second Jeroboam was a very successful king, so far as gathering material wealth was concerned. But morally, he was wicked. And our passage in 2 Kings 15 says that Zechariah did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. As his fathers had done, he departed not from the sons of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. Once again, the son followed the pattern sowed in his life by the example of his father. We also have examples of godliness giving rise to blessing. The rugged judge Caleb gives us a good example of this. In Deuteronomy 1:36 we read, "Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see the land, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord." Caleb had believed God. When the 10 spies gave a negative report, only Caleb and Joshua stood firm, voicing their belief that God would give Israel the land. And because of this faith, God promised an inheritance to the children of Caleb. I could go on with this listing of biblical examples, and I will be doing this during the remainder of the week, but it's time to draw a conclusion to this now. If your children will reap the blessings of your godly example, and if they will reap the sad harvest of your ungodly example, doesn't it make sense that you should live a godly life before them? Your consistency will pay off, not only with a better life for you personally, but also with a better life for your children. In the years to come, you'll know the satisfaction of having children who walk with the Lord.
You've just heard Viewpoint, a commentary on the home, family, and Christian education. Your host was Pete Stevenson.